In this talk, I will discuss Chapter 2, Part 3 of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, titled Man's Vocation, Life in the Spirit, which begins in paragraph 1877 and ends in paragraph 1948. While Chapter 1 focused on how individuals should live their life as moral actors, the Catechism now shifts to address how we are called to live life in the Holy Spirit within the human community. The duality of vocation is meant to show forth the image of God by living out the divine beatitudes in both our personal and our communal lives. Living the divine beatitude is intrinsic to the properly ordered human condition and is fundamentally communal. Since our vocation is naturally relational and calls us to communion with God, our experience within the community of human persons prefigures our ultimate unity with the divine persons. Indeed, if we were to isolate ourselves from others, how could we learn to live? How could we learn to love God, our neighbors, and ourselves? We are called to be present and visible in society as Christ and His church are. As paragraph 1879 in the Catechism of the Catholic Church affirms, the human person needs to live in society. Society is not for him an extraneous addition, but a requirement of his nature. Through the exchange with others, mutual service, and dialogue with his brethren, man develops his potential. He thus responds to his vocation. Yes, human potential is realized through divination and living in the dignity of God. However, we must also face the undeniable complexities and challenges in communal life. As we encounter individuals who strive to live in the Holy Spirit and others who give in to the influences of evil. Without resorting to idealization, the Catechism admits that some societies are better supports of our calling than others. For a person to realize his divine potential, the government must not hinder his free response to the call to live the Beatitudes. A government that limits spiritual and intellectual growth is a real threat to personal freedom and initiative. On the other hand, societies that become too permissive, where truth and where moral standards are constantly being redefined, may breed intolerance toward those who hold firm beliefs. Innately, all human people recognize that we are called to the same ultimate goal, God Himself, and that the community of neighbors in which God has placed us is deeply connected to fulfilling our vocation to live the divine beatitudes. In community, God offers us the opportunity to fulfill the command to love our neighbor and ourselves. However, this reveals the mystery of human governance. Every system attempts to answer the divine call to unity, but inevitably, each one succumbs to the paralysis of sin, which places material concerns above human dignity and God. While the idolatry of material possessions and the creation of oppressive laws are recurring patterns in societies affected by sin, the Church encourages her followers to pursue social change through the inner conversion of each individual. Paragraph 1888 of the Catechism of the Catholic Church states, "It is necessary then to appeal to the spiritual and moral capacities of the human person and to the permanent need for his inner conversion so as to obtain social changes that will really serve him. The acknowledged priority of conversion of heart in no way eliminates, but on the contrary, imposes the obligation of bringing the appropriate remedies to institutions and living in conditions when they are the inducement to sin, so that they conform to the norms of justice and advance the good rather than hinder it." A meaningful way to evangelize for interior conversion in societies affected by sin, whether they are marked by religious diversity or where Catholic Christians are the minority, is to work towards the common good. All people are created by the source of goodness itself, and therefore each person retains a measure of that original goodness. It is true, we constantly seek goodness, and our actions are directed toward what we see as good. Even when people act wrongly, it is often because they confuse subjective good with the objective good, which is God Himself. While individuals may believe they are pursuing the good, the real challenge is in the formation of their conscience. They need to come to understand the true and objective good rather than cling to fleeting pleasures and or subjective goods that are mere shadows of the true good. Paragraph 1906 of the Catechism of the Catholic Church describes the common good as the total sum of social conditions which allow people, either as groups or as individuals, to reach their fulfillment more fully and more easily. Yeah, the common good affects everyone and requires prudence from each person, especially from those in leadership roles. Building a society focused on the common good involves three main principles. First, protecting respect for every individual, ensuring freedom of worship, vocation, conscience, development, and privacy. Second, providing access to all essentials for a truly human life, including food, clothing, health, work, education, appropriate information, the right to establish a family, and so on. Three, maintaining peace by upholding moral order that guarantees security and safety for citizens, thereby encouraging freedom and respect for each person. Catholics endowed with grace through the sacraments and commissioned at the conclusion of the liturgy are uniquely positioned to contribute to the common good within society. Having received their vocation and the indwelling presence of God, Catholics are called to be a living witness of Christ and a Eucharistic people. Before engaging publicly, ethically, or socially, the Church teaches in paragraph 1914 that the foremost duty is to assume charge of areas for which one assumes personal responsibility. By the taking care for the education of his family, by conscientious work, and so forth. The concept of social justice often comes up in today's discussions, often with meanings that differ from the Church's understanding of the true good. The Catechism, however, clarifies in paragraph 1982, society ensures social justice. when it provides the conditions that allow associations or individuals to obtain what is their due according to their nature and their vocation. Social justice is linked to the common good and the exercise of authority. While the conditions needed to protect each person's rights may vary over time and in between cultures, what every person is owed based on their nature and calling remains absolute. As bearers of the Imago Dei, our nature includes reason, free will, and a spiritual soul, guiding us towards truth, goodness, and ultimately toward God. Therefore, our primary calling is to seek, know, love, and serve God to achieve eternal happiness. This includes the right to freely pursue God, receive truth and moral guidance, and live in conditions that foster this human flourishing. In this way, divine social justice ensures that each individual receives their due, as all are equal in dignity. Nonetheless, the Church acknowledges in paragraphs 1936 through 1937, on coming into the world, man is not equipped with everything he needs for developing his bodily and spiritual life. He needs others. Differences appear tied to age, physical abilities, intellectual or moral aptitudes, the benefits derived from social commerce and distribution of wealth. The talents are not distributed equally. These differences belong to God's plan, who wills that each receive what he needs from others, and that those endowed with particular talents share their benefits with those who need them. These differences encourage and often oblige persons to practice generosity, kindness, and sharing of goods. They foster the mutual enrichment of cultures. This innate need for others, arising from our inherent incompleteness, is the foundation of the Church's call to human solidarity, also known as friendship, brotherhood, and social charity. Solidarity goes beyond material support and the fair distribution of goods. It involves a commitment to building a just social order, resolving tensions and conflicts through dialogue and negotiation, and sharing the spiritual gifts of faith. Genuine solidarity is shown at every level of society, among the poor, between the rich and the poor, among the workers, between employers and employees, and even among nations. It is a moral duty vital for establishing peace. Moreover, solidarity is not just about material aid. It includes sharing faith, which throughout history has inspired heroic acts of charity and helped individuals and societies flourish. Through these efforts, the Church aims to create conditions where every person can live a life worthy of their human and Christian dignity. The liturgical life of the Church serves as a living pedagogy, shaping our understanding and practice of these teachings on social justice, the common good, and solidarity through its rhythms of prayer, proclamation of the word, and celebration of the sacraments, especially the Holy Eucharist. The liturgy immerses the faithful in God's vision for humanity. Each liturgical season and rite invites us to eternalize Christ's self-giving love, calling us to conversion of heart and act of charity. In this way, the liturgy does not merely instruct us about doctrine, but forms us by repeated participation into a people who recognize our dependence on God, and on one another, and who are sent forth to embody justice and compassion in the world. The liturgy of the Mass is fundamentally relational. At its heart lies the mystery of the Incarnation. Christ Jesus, the eternal Son of God, assumes our human nature, relates with it, and enters into a relationship with us. In the Mass, this relationship is deepened and made tangible. As we gather, we become one body, united not only with Christ, but also with one another. The Holy Eucharist, described as the work of human hands, bread and wine, offered and transformed, becomes the very flesh and blood of Christ. By consuming this sacred gift, we are drawn into communion with Him, participating in His divine love. This act of communion is not merely symbolic, it is transformative. As Christ identifies with us through His incarnation, we in turn are invited to identify with Him and with each other. The Eucharist enables us to become like the one whom we receive, shaping our hearts and minds to reflect His self-giving love. In sharing the body and blood of Christ, our relationships with God and neighbor are renewed and strengthened. We are empowered to live out justice and solidarity and charity to which the liturgy calls us. The communal aspects of the Mass thus forms us into a people who are not only in worship together, but also striving to embody Christ's presence in the world by fostering unity, compassion, and commitment to the common good. Indeed, true solidarity is impossible in isolation, disordered when considered with Christ alone, or within a community that is not striving towards relationship with Christ. On the contrary, true solidarity is found in, with, and through Jesus Christ. In this way, the community formed through the liturgy is the model par excellence of our way of life in solidarity with Christ until the new Jerusalem is fulfilled. In our next encounter, I look forward to speaking with you about God's salvation, law, and grace. Thank you for listening.